Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
It's about a minute after 8 o'clock. And as we do each and every Wednesday morning, we are delighted to share this time with President and CEO, the award-winning President and CEO of WealthWise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert, stepping in for the WealthWise moment. Good morning, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. How are you?
I'm fantastic this morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right. Well, it's great to hear from you. Thank you for calling in today. It seems that so much happens in the 7 days between the time we last spoke.
There's always a lot happening, definitely, in the economy, in the markets, and...
Yeah. Yes. I want to talk first about U.S. household debt. It surpassed $16 trillion for the first time ever during the last quarter. And even though borrowing costs surge, the New York Fed said that credit card balances had increased by $46 billion last quarter. With interest rates on the rise, and we are expecting two more interest rate bumps this year, are we in danger of seeing Americans drowning in debt in the next couple of years, and how can we avoid that?
Yeah, great question. And you're right, $16 trillion is a new high. However, when you look at the debt service ratio of consumers, the consumer is still quite healthy. And if we look at, you know, delinquency is still quite low. So if we look at, let's just look at mortgage debt. So in mortgage debt, Q2 of 2021, it was 0.34%. Q2 of 2022, a year later, it's 0.44%. So still low. It's gone up just a little bit, but quite low. And, you know, if we take another category of student loan debt, Q2 2021, that number was 1.05. And we're talking about delinquency on that.
Yes.
1.05% a year ago, and now it's at 0.98%. So the numbers, what we really look at is it causing delinquency, and then how healthy is the consumer still? And so the consumer is still strong. But, you know, to your question, you know, down the road, could it be a problem? Certainly. If that debt continues to increase and the consumer is stretched by using all of their savings, then eventually consumers will be impacted.
Okay. And neither home prices nor mortgage rates are expected to plummet, and affording a home is likely to remain a challenge for the rest of this year. I'm curious as to, with the rate hikes, will that make mortgage rates more volatile, or will it keep them volatile?
Yeah. So there's not a direct correlation between what the Fed does and necessarily interest rates. It's not a direct correlation. So when you hear we had a 75 basis point increase that the Fed just did, doesn't mean all of a sudden your home loan is going to be 75 basis points more. It does have a correlation. In other words, in a rising interest rate environment, mortgage loans are going to be higher. But like I said, not a direct. So I just want to make that clear. Also, what happens in the mortgage rates is it happens daily. There are adjustments based on the bond markets. And the bond markets are not exactly tied to just what the Fed is doing. So you can have sometimes an easing of those rates, which we've seen some of that. You know, we saw rates spike up and then we saw a little bit of an easing. And then, but what I will say is when the Fed reverses course, right now they're on that steep rising rate environment, but eventually as the economy cools down and slows down, then the Federal Reserve will actually have to change course and lower rates again. And that will be an opportunity for people looking to purchase. And today we got the MBA Mortgage Applications Index, and it was positive 1.2%, given the prior month was down 1.8%. So we've actually seen mortgage applications increase.
Okay. All right. Is for you, when you take a look at numbers, is there a single indicator for you that directly correlates with consumer sentiment?
So consumer sentiment, yes, we have a consumer sentiment index that we look at. And if you look at the Consumer Sentiment Index since 1971, we have had 8 peaks and 8 troughs. And we're actually now in the 9th trough. What's interesting about the Consumer Sentiment Index is in those 8 peaks, in all 8 peaks on average since 1971, when consumer sentiment is really high, the average subsequent 12-month S&P 500 return is only 4.1%. But in those 8 consumer sentiment troughs, the average subsequent 12-month S&P 500 return has been 24.9%. Wow. Given we are now in the 9th trough since 1971, it would point to better than average, and of course, no guarantee. These are just past numbers that I'm looking at. No guarantee of future returns. But if we look at that, there is a strong correlation between consumer sentiment being really negative and 12 months out on the S&P being really positive. Now, why is that, Ed? Because the consumer lags everything, right? So when the economy is doing really well, and you can still hear me, right, Ed?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. When the consumer feels really good about things, we're already at the peak in the markets. Markets are strong, and they're already at the peak. But just like now, we've had a very difficult first half of the year with equity markets. I was on the phone yesterday with some clients, and they're like, should we be more conservative? What should we be doing? Look at the negative on our returns. I said, absolutely not. This is the time when we're adding more equity exposure. When you feel the worst, and it's so hard to do, but that's why we're hired, to keep a steady mindset and take emotions out of investing. And when it's the most difficult for investors, when they feel like the world is just going to be, you know, is just going in the wrong direction, then probably 12 months out we'll be in a lot better situation.
Absolutely. Beautifully explained. Thank you for that. And I get the feeling that when you're at a restaurant eating dinner with someone, it's a lot like the tables next to you are kind of leaning in and trying to listen to your conversation. It's like E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny, yeah.
So I want to talk about the financial sector for a second. Analysts are expecting earnings to fall by more than 22% this year, more than any other sector. Yet, analysts think the S&P 500 earnings will still be in the green, even after the index posted its worst quarter since the start of 2020. Is that because of the energy sector?
So certainly energy and utilities have been leaders in, you know, year to date. But right now, let me tell you, as far as earnings are concerned, we still see that more like 6% year-over-year growth on earnings. And the financial sector, you have to kind of break down. The financial sector is a big sector. So, you know, going forward, we're not as keen on big banks, okay?
Okay.
But where we are still liking the financial sector are other areas like brokerage, asset management. So you have to look, there's a lot of different areas of financials. Financials, actually, when interest rates go up, they make more money, right?
Right.
So you have to consider that as well. So yes, certainly there are areas that are going to be more difficult. And what we've heard from the big banks is they're keeping more of reserves intact for future concerns. And so that hurts in effect their bottom line profit because they're keeping more in reserve. But we still like area parts of the financial services. And like I said, you know, we're still looking at a 6% year over year on the full S&P 500. What's interesting is right now we've had about 60% of the S&P 500 companies reported. 73% of those have reported better than expected earning results, and 66% have reported better than expected revenue surprise.
Wow.
Okay. And then, like I said, 6% year over year. The 10-year average is 8.8%, but a lot better than the expectations at the beginning of this quarter. Analysts had come down to 4%. So we're beating what analysts thought for the quarter is basically what I'm saying.
Okay. And am I crazy when I read this number that energy earnings are expected to grow by well over 200% this quarter?
Probably so. Okay. We're still seeing that. Now, just, you know, we're looking to, you know, while energy has been a strong leader, we feel like a lot of that runway is done. So, you know, I'd be careful on too much of an overweight there in that sector.
Okay. All right. As I was watching some of the primary results come in, and I follow, you know how closely I follow this stuff. So yesterday I'm watching some of the primary results come in. It occurred to me the midterms in November, how will that affect the market?
So it's really interesting, Ed, and this is not about either side. It's just what's interesting is the midterms actually end up having an impact on the market, regardless of party. It's pretty interesting. So of the 4-year election cycle, since 1950, the midterm year has the largest peak to trough pullback on the S&P 500 with an average drawdown of 17.1%. And as you know, we've seen over 20% on the S&P 500 year to date. But off those lows, stocks have been up more than 32% on average 1 year later. The other interesting statistic is that the year after the midterm elections has been very strong for stocks. Since 1950, all 18 out of 18 midterm elections, the S&P 500 has been higher a year after the midterm election with an average gain of 14.5%. So that's, I kind of go back to, there's a lot of negativity, a lot of pessimism, a lot of concern. But when we look at prior statistics, which of course are cannot guarantee any future results. But when you look at those, it gives us cause for optimism going forward. And the other stat is that when you've had a big drawdown in the first half of the year, the second half of the year tends to be much better. So that's why we keep telling clients, no, you don't want to become more conservative. Let's keep you whatever risk, make sure your risk tolerance is accurate for the long term, but take a long-term perspective here.
Oh, way to explain it. Thank you so much for simplifying it for me like that. That was really cool.
Sure.
When we're done here in the mornings, on Wednesday afternoons and Wednesday evenings, I sound like the smartest guy in the house, no matter what. So I appreciate it.
You can go to the coffee shop and you can have everybody listening to you.
Probably so. So the ISM and IHS numbers came out. Explain to us what those are and what those mean.
Right. So the IHS Market Services, so that's the services reading, was 47.3%. Prior month was 47. So a little bit of an improvement. We want to see that number above 50. And remember, above 50 is growth. Below 50 is contractionary. But what we've seen is that number since the pandemic has never recovered. We're still waiting for services to come along. And it has been slowly. A lot of that has to do with hiring difficulties. As opposed to the ISM non-manufacturing index, which is in the green, and that's 56.7%, the expectation was 53.8%, and the prior month was 55.3%. So what we're seeing is that is continuing to grow. So the bottom line is our economy is still growing. We're still having a hard time with services, especially because of jobs, but it is coming along and becoming more positive. So that's the bottom line there.
Excellent. And is that going to be part of what you talk about? You have a mid-year outlook call happening on August 24th. I want to let our listeners know it's August 24th at 4:30 Pacific time. What do you expect to talk about for the mid-year outlook?
We are going to be talking about everything that investors can expect, kind of where have we been in the first half of the year and kind of break that down. And then now that we're in the mid part of the year, what can we look towards in that second half of the year? We would love for your listeners to participate on Wednesday, August 24th at 4:30 p.m. We're going to post it on our website, Ed, at wealthwisefinancial.com, to where people will have that information on there. So it's not on there yet, but by the end of the week, it should be, and people can mark their calendars for August 24th at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time.
Excellent. And what I'll do is I'll cut a promo to remind them, and we'll run that promo for the couple of days leading up to that, and then on the day of as well. Let's do that.
Great. Sounds great.
I think it's important. So over the next couple of days, what are your plans?
What are my plans on the next? Well, let's see. We're working away.
Of course. I'm really trying to get to the bottom of this book thing. Are you still working on the book?
Oh, yes, okay. Definitely. I'm on chapter 4 of revisions of the book out of, you know, I think it's going to be 12 chapters, okay. I believe. So somewhere around there. So I'm about a third of the way on the revisions. And so we're moving along.
All right.
Well, moving along. Slowly but surely. I'm on a difficult part right now. It's about very specific items, you know, for investors to understand as far as the markets are concerned. So a little bit technical in chapter 4.
Okay. All right. I can't wait till it comes out. And I'm very serious. As soon as it does, I want an autographed copy. I'd love to go through that book. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic.
Thank you so much.
And I'll remind our listeners again that the mid-year outlook call happens on August 24th at 4:30 Pacific time. It's very important to investors. It's very important for everybody. So tune into that, and we'll keep reminding you. How do people find you, Laureen?
WealthwiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
As always, thank you so much for taking part in a Wednesday morning, and thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great day.
Thank you, Laureen. Laureen Gilbert, WealthWise Financial Services and the WealthWise Moment. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.